Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. How was your Christmas?
It was very good. It was, yeah, it was nice. I was home for 2 days at my dad's house and then back in the studio.
You
the
were.
27th to 28th. Yeah. So, you know, good. Short.
Short, indeed.
But it was good.
Yeah, cool, man. Did Santa bring you nice things?
He brought me lots of nice things. Yes, he brought me a wrestling RPG.
Oh, you did? Yes, things. You sent us a message about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Cool. You had a look at it?
No. Yeah, readings for schmucks.
You know, readings for people who have time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Too many games, too many Switch.
You played a lot of Pokemon?
Well, I completed the Pokédex on Pokemon over Christmas, which I had yet to do. I was the ones that are not in the Let's Go Pikachu edition away, so mm-hmm. I traded with my brother to get the remaining ones, although he didn't have an Ekans, so I had to then go outside using Pokemon Go and find an Ekans, which... Ugh. Happened to live quite near my house. So I was quite pleased.
That's
quite
handy,
actually quite
really.
Good. We've been looking for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was good.
Good, man. Well, it's good to have you back in the office once
Thanks,
again.
Mate.
This is going to be the NXT review edition of this show, but it wasn't really... The first half of this will be much longer than the second half. Like, you're going to find your ad break, then only a very small bit of chat towards the end before we get into the outro portion. But if you are only listening to this on the podcast, I would recommend going across to the YouTube version because we do have a special surprise on that video, which was a gift from our Hammerman Christopher Jenkins, who sent across, you may remember this, Podswafters, that he was emailing in with several pictures about the hammers that he was making for us. Well, they have arrived.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we are opening them. We haven't actually opened them yet. We're recording this before we've done the unboxing of them. That's because Ollie's going to be doing the unboxing with us, but he is on the phone doing business. Because you
He's just saying business.
Pretty much, that's all
business,
he is doing.
Business. Is it working? Yes.
Yes. Yep. Good business. Good business chat. So we will be doing that very, very, very soon on the YouTube. So go over there and watch it. But first, let's go through some of your correspondence. This one comes in from Dylan from Cork. It says, hi, guys. How are you getting on? I just wanted to say that this month, which was in January, is the 1 year anniversary of when I started listening to the podcast. And I can't thank Luke, Ollie, El Fakeador, Andy, and all the Swaff Nation enough for the enjoyment I've experienced listening to the podcast. You've made the dark days seem brighter and really made me feel part of something special. 2018 was a year of incredibly great highs and some very dark lows for me personally, but one of the ultimate highs was discovering this podcast. Thanks again, lads. I look forward to the content coming in 2019, and I hope that one day our paths cross in person. Much love, Dylan from Cork. Well, thank you very much for your message, Dylan. I don't know if you attend OTT shows, but I think that's one of our 2019 aims, is to go to an OTT show. Because after watching that Walter Will Ospreay match, that looks like a crowd I want to be a part of. They look like they had so much fun. Big thanks out to Chris again, who sent us some gifts yesterday that we opened up on podcast. I believe he's also sending us some more gifts that he sent on December 13th.
Christmas just doesn't stop this year.
Yeah, he says it's going to take around 15 to 20 days to get there. So Maybe we'll see what arrives in that box when it does. Also got this email before Christmas from Gareth Jones. Said, hi, Luke, Ollie, the Wrestle Tykes, and hola, El Fakador. And this has been bugging me for a long time, but I'm curious as to your connection of the great city of Liverpool. I've heard you mention you're an Everton fan. Sorry to hear that. And you will always reference Justice for the 96 when anything related to the Scum comes up. Scum, for anyone's not aware, is the Sun newspaper, which is a Scouser, is great to hear on such a platform. Other than that, though, you seem to have a connection to Liverpool, but I've mentioned growing up in Reading, so wondering what the connection is. Have a great Christmas and keep up the consistent work. P.S. If you want to come do a show in Liverpool, I will be there. My family are from Liverpool. My parents were from there. In fact, all my family are from Liverpool, apart from me, because I was born Dan Seth.
Luke's a secret Scouser.
Secret Scouser. I did have a Scouse accent when I was a child, but it was bullied out of me at school. Aww. So I now have this boring accent that I have now.
I've been bullied into the doldums.
I really was. So yeah, I was very much the black sheep of my Scouser family, the only one not from
shell suit.
Only one not stealing hubcaps. Yeah. I was the Berkshire boy, is what I was referred to by my brother types, because I was born in the great county of Berkshire. But it's funny because when we do go to wrestling shows, when the three of us have gone, and people have a pop at Zach Gibson and say, like, where's my car stereo, or you stole my hubcaps and stuff, I do like to point out, like, that is a terrible stereotype.
Yeah, yes.
It's a terrible stereotype. We should not be condoning any of this. Let's not join in these chants.
Yeah, well, you sound a bit elitist when you do that, though, because you're doing it in your posh voice.
Exactly.
Promise, you've got your phone voice on all the time now, so.
Absolutely. We've got this email in here from Fox from Texas, all the way in America. This is a Wrestle Talk Get Better. Hello, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. Might I suggest doing a Tough Mudder in preparations for Ollie's marathon he plans to do next year? But not just Ollie. How about the three of you run it? Or better yet, get a group of you on a team, including your friends and colleagues, and even your lady partners. The more, the merrier for Tough Mudder. I originally sent this back in May, but I guess you just skipped over the email. I don't think I skipped over the email. I might have missed an email, but I tend not to skip over things. But after hearing Laurie bring it up this past week, I thought I'd send it through to you again. As of now, I've completed 8, about 1 per year, I'm assuming you read Run Mother, and plan on doing more in the future. It's a 10-mile-ish run, 16 kilometres, filled with ice-cold water, slippery mud, climbing walls, hanging electric wires, and so much more. For reference, I'm 34 years old, 5'9", 171 pounds, and 13.3% BMI. But I haven't been in a real gym since 2003. I've just had the same manual-type job for the past 9 years, and that's enough exercise for me. Just to ease your mind, I've ran with my girlfriend, my sisters, who are in their late 40s, two men in their 60s, and a handful of friends and colleagues throughout the years, all while creating our own badass shirts with cool team names and nicknames on our backs. Just saying. I'm sure you three could do it and have a blast. It's not a race. Run/jog/walk at your own pace. Anyways, you guys stay consistent and that awesome content keep coming. Always listening. That's from Fox in Texas.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I've done I did a Tough Mudder backwards once. I was filming some people.
Oh, I see.
I was filming some people do a Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
So I just got to go up the end of all the obstacles and film them coming through. And that was enough for me. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, my wife is doing a half marathon in February, so she's currently training for that. So I think that she's got other things in her mind. I just don't really fancy it.
I'm sure
it'll be a lark.
A mudlark.
But I don't massively fancy doing it. Although, I suppose if it was like a big team that was going, then maybe that's a bit more fun and a bit more of like, you know, actually, maybe it'll be like a good team building exercise for us. We could be like those big corporations that do like your away days.
I'll have drowned Randy Gatson by the end of the day.
Speaking of, did you see Secret London posted about this? But typical of Secret London, it was far too late and the tickets already sold out. But they're bringing the Mario Kart experience to London for 2 days.
Whoa.
Where you dress up in Mario costumes and you do like the big karting grab and you have like weapons to throw at people as well. But unfortunately,
I assume the shells don't home.
Well, yeah, I'd imagine not. No,
only green shells
or the blue ones. Yeah. So, unfortunately, yeah, tickets are all sold out for it. But I thought that would have been a really fun day out for the WrestleTalk team.
I think you can just turn up, and then if you hide enough stuff down your jumpsuit, you can play Mario Kart too. It's fine.
And I do want to give a shout out to Buttered Toast. I'm going to send you a proper email, but you sent me this back on December 19th, and I've not really found the words to reply to it yet. But basically, he offered to buy me a Switch.
Whoa.
I know, which is like the nicest gift anyone could ever possibly like offer, but I'm gonna have to say no because it's too generous a gift.
It's
for
too
me
generous.
It's far too generous a gift, but yeah, I'll send you a proper email, Buttered Toast, but thank you so much for your generosity with that. But let's get into the show itself. We're going to be talking about the NXT show from this week, the first episode of 2019, which is just sort of mostly filled with recaps, but there is the NXT Awards. So actually think of this as our second year in review episode. Here's the show. Happy New Year, Swap Nation.
Haps it is news.
The third day of 2019, and it brought upon us a long episode of NXT where recaps happened.
Oh, yeah, but like more recaps than you could possibly imagine. There was a point where I was like, they're just showing the full match.
Yeah,
here.
Well, when they started doing it with the NXT North American ladder match, my notes were, I was like, okay, highlights package from the North American ladder match. And then I was like, no, this really just feels like we're showing all of this.
Yeah.
Then they showed the Orkin, I've done it again, Larkin and Birch match in full.
Orca and Birch. Yeah, with entrances and I was like, oh my God, like this is, why are you doing this?
Yeah, so this was the end of year episode at the start of a new year. I really feel like this one should have been aired last week, really. Mm. And it was basically like a best of, here's a recap. Actually, it really was, if you are just getting yourself into NXT, like if you missed all of 2018, but you heard all of this buzz, all of the end of year list awards that were like with us and Cultaholic and other channels and that were like, you should watch NXT, you should watch NXT. And then a lot of fans were like, what is this NXT I hear quite a little bit about on the internet? I'm going to go on to the WWE Network on the Wednesday and watch the next segment of NXT. And this episode is kind of like a very good introduction to what you missed in that year. It recapped all the big feuds. It showed you lots of the matches. It told you who to look out for in the new year. And then it ended off with a... Well, we'll get to the match.
It really did hype that match.
Didn't it just? Yeah. Yes, this was a two-hour show that was all recaps and all video packages. But in that was also the announcement of the NXT Awards. What do they call them? The NXT Year-End Awards 2018. And they kind of like showed previous winners of those, like Sasha Banks winning it and DIY winning it and all this, that, and the other. So we're going to go through each of the categories and say who we would pick to win if we were going to vote.
Shayna Baszler for all of them.
All of every single one. Now, this is weird, I'll be honest with you, because I was expected to go onto WWE.com and find myself with like a little form, maybe a little button that I have to push, you know, like a little radio button that just says, this is who I want. No, you've got to go onto Twitter and tweet the hashtag of the category and a hashtag of the nominee you are voting for. And then it says, please limit your vote to one category nominee per tweet. Just have a radio button, because some poor sap's got to go through there and count all of the votes manually.
Yeah, but then that's how you get tweets going, mate.
Oh, but it's not like WWE is a channel that's low on tweet content, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or like people tweeting them nonsense. Like whenever they post up a video, you just get these weirdos that just tweet back to them who think it's all real.
I think the key is here, they'll have all these people do all this and they'll get all the Twitter traffic, and then at the end of it, they'll just say, yeah, well, that person won anyway. No one is going to count this. Not even someone in WWE is going to count this. They're going to take a gist of it. They're going to go, oh, well, probably.
I bet you Shayna Baszler won.
Yeah, it's probably Gargano. Like,
It's probably
Johnny.
It's probably. Well, we're looking to give Aleister Black a push, so it was probably him.
We'll
say it was him. So we're going to go through each of the categories here, kicking off with the female competitor of the year. So while our video is titled Wrestler of the Year, WWE do not like that word. So therefore, we have the female competitor of the year, and the nominees are...
Woman Grap of the Year.
Nikki Cross, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Ember Moon, and Bianca Belair. So, if you want to join in, it's hashtag NXT Award Female. And then you just have to do the hashtag of who you also vote for. But you've got to do the full name. You can't do hashtag Bianca. That won't count.
No.
So, what do you think? Nikki, Baze, Kairi, Embs, or Bianks?
It's fairly obvious, my answer. It's Shayna Baszler. Yeah. I feel like the only person who would probably touch her on that might be, for me, Ember Moon. But Ember Moon's year was definitely the year before.
Yes,
I think.
And I would
agree.
And
this year was more sort of her definitely seeming like she was on her way out, But they had a few, like, you know, she had her win and all that stuff. So it was the end of her title reign this year. So.
Exactly, yeah. I think, Ember debuted up on the main roster just after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So really, like, she only had 4 months worth of NXT stuff. And within that, she did have really good stuff with Dakota Kai and Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
But it was a very short run. I don't think that Nikki's done a great deal in 2019.
She's been on holding
2018,
pattern,
rather.
Really, yes.
Yeah, you and I, when we did our NXT in review, which we pre-taped before they announced she was going up to the main roster, we spent a good 5 minutes talking about
WWE.
Curse you. Saying why she should go up to the main roster, because really she'd done everything she needed to do. And while it was fun that she was involved with the Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano stuff, it really almost felt like she was in that role because we've got now tells for you.
Yeah. Well, she's also like the perfect character for that
exactly.
as well, because she's mad. Yes. So she can just insert herself wherever she wants. It's like, we need to fill a match. Who would have a match with this person? Nikki Cross.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I'm amazed that Lacey Evans was not in this list, because they bloody love Lacey Evans.
They do love Lacey.
They absolutely love her. But I would also go with the woman rat. I would also go with Shayna Baszler, but in a close second, Bianca Belair for me. I think she's had a very, very, not a fascinating year, but as someone who has just like instantly turned themselves into a star.
Yes.
In NXT, I think that Bianca Belair has very much done that. So I think she is going to be very much in the running for 2019. Mm. Unless, of course, my prediction is true. Because my wild and wacky prediction for 2019 was that she will win the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. And that will be her main roster debut. So up next, we've got the male competitor of the year, which has got more nominations than the female one. So if you want to join in, it's hashtag NXT Award Male. We've got Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommy Champs.
Johnny Gargano.
Gargs.
Ricochet.
Ricky.
Aleister Black.
Ali Black.
Velveteen Dream.
Velvy Dream.
Andrade Cien Almas.
Andy Almas.
Adam Cole.
Adam Cole.
And Pete Dunne. Peter Dunne. Peter Dunne.
Peterus Dunnus.
So I really struggled to read that list out because I almost just said the word you said previously. So I think for me...
Johnny Gargs.
For me, this is very much like a three-way for Ciampa, Gargano, and Black. But if I had to pick one of them, I suppose you could throw Adam Cole in there as well.
Exactly.
But for me, I think I'd have to go with Gargano. Gargano has been... He's been Johnny Takeover. He's been my... Yeah, I think he's been the MVP of NXT in 2018.
Well, I'm going to go oppositional, and I'm going to go with Ciampa then.
Such a great champion. And that's kind of the brilliant thing about NXT.
The greatest sports entertainer of all time.
That's kind of the brilliant thing about NXT in 2018, really, is that, like, I picked Johnny Gargano, you picked Tommaso Ciampa, but I'm not sitting here going, like, well, that's a remarkably silly choice.
Yeah.
I'm going, like, that's actually an excellent choice.
There are 8 people on that list that have all had outstanding years. They've all done... Yeah, Almas had an outstanding beginning of the year. And I mean, he's also proven on SmackDown that he's capable of having amazing matches.
Really is.
They're just booking him badly.
Yep. That's
and he started out fairly well booked, had a little hitch in the middle, and has gone downhill. But like his NXT bit, in just what, 2 months that he was there?
Yeah.
3 months?
It
was fantastic.
It was an incredible turnaround for Almas because he came into NXT with quite a bit of fanfare as this baby face with the trilby, and everyone was like, what's all this about? And the braces and whatnot. And everyone very much went off Almas as quickly as he came in, really. Mm-hmm. And he very much he fell down the card. They didn't really know what to do with him. And it was the partnership with Zelina Vega. And all of a sudden, you felt like he could be a top guy in this company.
Yes.
Then he won the belt in November 2017. And I was like, oh man, he is, and it was like that. It was like an overnight sensation for Almas, and I was really, I was so stoked for him at the start of the year. I thought he had such a really strong start, but as you say, like the main roster call up, and it's just been flattened out. Ooh, it really feels like they think that Zelina Vega is the wrestler of that act, and Almas is just there to be El Idolo and do the pose and whatnot. So it's a real shame because he could have been a real strong contender, especially after that Gargano match at Philadelphia.
Well, it's that exact same thing as the Oney Lorcan Danny Burch thing. Is like people weren't really putting much stock in old Almas, and then suddenly he wins the title.
Yeah.
And even that match was a bit like underwhelming with Drew, and obviously because Drew was hurt, but like it was a bit underwhelming. And then suddenly he just had this turn, and it was like, oh, you're now this one of the most fantastic wrestlers on the roster.
Yeah. And I've got to give a shout out to Pete Dunne as well, because I bloody, bloody love Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne's fab.
Pete Dunne is fabulous. So we've got an overall competitor of the year. Did they announce this one on TV?
Yes, they spoke about this.
Did they?
Yeah,
I don't remember. So, yeah. Oh, it was the one that kept coming up throughout the show. Yes, I thought it was just like an overall.
Have I got it?
We are doing an overall awards thing. So this is the NXT overall award. So it's basically all of the people that we've just gone through, but it's the women and men together. So now you've got to do who is the overall competitor of the year.
And do you just choose from who we've gone, who's the best male competitor and who's the best female
competitor? No, this literally...
And do we then choose just between those two? Or do we go wild and pick someone who wasn't either of those two and then make a case for why they weren't the best male or female, but they were a great competitor?
So it's a bit like the Oscars, where like you might win best screenplay, best Oscar... best director and best actor, but not win best film.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So this might be that sort of, you know...
Because the Oscars are pointless.
Competitor might mean, in this case, like it's like Sportsman of the Year award. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know... Because you could have competed a lot, but not won much or done much with anything, you know. It could be just like you were very nice.
This
is the consolation prize.
So in that case, then, I'm going to give it to Ricochet.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to give it to
Ricochet. I'm going to give it to the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, good shout.
Because he has been... All of these other people in here, he's made them stars. So he's done very well.
Lovely. Well done, Dream and Rick. NXT Tag Team of the Year. So we've got the Undisputed Era of Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, the War Raiders, Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, Lorcan and Birch. Did I say that right this time?
Yes.
Yes, I did. And Mustache Mountain.
No, funnily enough, Raul Mendoza or Humberto Carrillo.
Well, exactly. Otherwise, they would win.
Because they are the best tag team in NXT. Easily.
Easily. So, unfortunately, we cannot vote for them.
No.
Or TM61, sadly.
Yes.
Or what they got? The Mighty. Yeah, because one of them's on his way off back to Australia. So,
he's already there, mate. He's already there.
He's already there. I'm going to say... Yeah, so usually I would say the Street Profits because they're my favourite tag team in NXT, but they haven't really done a lot in 2018. They had that feud over the cup, but that was more or less about
it. The cup feud.
The cup feud.
The cup you can buy from any shop.
Infamous cup feud. Oh. Solo cup feud. So I'm going to say... I don't know. Who are you saying?
Lorcan and Birch maybe?
Yeah, and I want to point out here, it's not because we don't care. I mean, really, this is all pointless regardless anyway. We were struggling to think of things to talk about in this episode of NXT because nothing happened. But I genuinely find it very difficult to pick between these six teams. Really, like, maybe three teams in that full list, because you could probably discount... Street Profits and Heavy Machinery and Lorcan and Birch, I would say, because aside from that one match, they haven't really done anything else outside of the year.
So
I see, for me, really, it's between Undisputed Era, War Raiders, and Mustache Mountain. But those are three really, really good teams. It's very hard to then pick who I think is the best one of that lot.
I think Undisputed Era.
I'd agree.
Overall, because I think the War Raiders haven't had their moment yet, and they've done a lot of very good beatdowns on people, but they've not had many stand out, like, these were slogfest matches. Like, they were in War Games, that was very good, and in the build up to War Games, they're in quite a few matches. They're still yet to have their breakout moment, and obviously, they're a litany of injuries currently and weddings and things, so they're probably quite busy. Undisputed Era have just been involved in all those big sort of marquee matches, but also had amazing, like, traditional tag team matches with the likes of Mustache Mountain. Like, they are the full package.
Yeah.
And I think that's, there's no argument there, probably.
I completely agree with you. I think War Raiders, very much like they came in with a bit of fire, but only really started to get storylines towards the end of the year when in the build up to War Games. Street Profits had the cup feud and with the Mighty, and that was about it. Heavy Machinery have been very entertaining, but
stakes and weights,
they haven't really had like a storyline that's sort of driven them throughout the year. The Hard Bastards had that one great match, but then injuries really hurt them and their momentum coming off of that match. And Mustache Mountain did have that great period during the summer, but then have been sort of like, I don't want to say relegated, but moved across to NXT UK, where they've been more of a focus over there and been moved away from NXT. So for me, really, as much as I like all six teams here, it's got to be Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
NXT Takeover of the Year.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
This is news to me as well. So this is tough, this one. Is it NXT Takeover Philadelphia, NXT Takeover New Orleans, Takeover Chicago, Brooklyn 4, or War Games? Brooklyn 4?
Brooklyn 4.
That's the one I missed. I wasn't here for.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched the full show.
It's great.
Yeah, I've watched bits of, like, I did watch it in like one sitting. Mm. I would like watch one match here, I'd watch one match there. Like, I watched the tag match, the Mustache Mountain tag match, like before I got on a plane. And then I got back and I saw sort of like bits and pieces from other matches, and I've sort of then gone back and rewatched them.
It's difficult though, because they're all fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like out of those five shows, there's probably a bad match.
Yeah, that's the EC3 match.
Yeah, the EC3 match. And that's it. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great for EC3.
Yeah, it really was. I think, only because I haven't seen TakeOver Brooklyn 4 in one big chunk, mm-hmm. and I think that would really, like, that would have just made me probably pick that one, because all those matches were absolutely, like, awesome, with the exception of the EC3 match. And so I think without watching it all in one chunk, so you got the context of being like, that match was great, and you build up and you see the next match, and you build the next match, I think I'm going to have to go with War Games. War Games 2018 for me. NXT Match of the Year should be a tough one. It's one of... Crikey, there's a lot to get through
There's so many.
Because this is the one they didn't really, like... Did they actually say in the show... Because they just got, sort of said, there's loads of matches, go to the website and find out what they are.
Yes, they did. And I was like, I'll remember to do that. I did, actually. For the first time ever, mate, I've remembered to do some research.
You've done so much better at this than I have. I've literally just gone to WWE.com. So we have got War Games from TakeOver War Games, Gargano Almas from Philadelphia, NXT Tags, which is the Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era, which is the TV match that did appear in our top 10, the WrestleTalk top 10.
Throwing in the towel.
Gargano Ciampa from New Orleans, mm-hmm. the North American Championship ladder match, which controversially did not feature in our top 10.
It was in an honorable mention, but then we didn't record the honorable mention.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's something we probably should mention, actually. Yeah. We did record loads of honorable mentions, especially for like wrestlers and matches, but then we decided the videos were too long, so we cut them all out. So that's why...
What can you do?
That's why your faves wasn't there. We did want to record them, we just didn't have time.
We've pandered. Like us,
exactly.
Please.
Shayna Baszler from TakeOver Brooklyn 4, Ricochet Dream from Chicago, Aleister Black versus Tommaso Ciampa, which is the one on TV where Ciampa won the belt. Pete Dunne versus Zach Gibson for the UK Championship, which was on NXT TV, apparently. I don't think I saw that match. Cole Black from Philadelphia. Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, NXT UK Championship match from NXT TV. Undisputed Era versus Burch and Lorcan. Nikki Cross versus Bianca Belair. Ricochet versus Pete Dunne, which is the North American Championship versus UK Championship match, and the triple threat between Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and Adam Cole for the North American Championship.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think because the choice of Johnny Gargano Ciampa match isn't my favourite of the three, I'm going to have to go for the Mustache Mountain Undisputed Era TV match.
Oh, yeah.
That was in our top 10.
It was in our top 10.
And, I think my favourite Ciampa Gargano match was the last one.
Yeah.
Or the second one. Yeah. And then the first one was like.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
my favourite was the second one, actually. I think I might go Gargano Almas. I bloody loved that match.
That was a very good match.
Very good match.
That was one of the few matches that ever got me to genuinely jump out of my chair at something happening. I was like, ah!
Yeah. There were some really good matches on here, though. Really, really strong stuff. That North American Championship match, I know it didn't feature in our top 10, like, but it was a stonky match, and I was reminded of how good that match was in the highlight package on this show. The NXT Rivalry of the Year, our nominations are Gargano Ciampa, Shayna Baszler, Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Nikki Cross, so the Aleister attack, Gargano Almas, Mustache Mountain versus Undisputed Era, Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler, and Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. Do we need to have a conversation about this?
No.
I mean, it's... I'm not even going to make a joke. It's Gargano Ciampa, right? It's Gargano Ciampa here.
Yeah. I don't know why they've even splintered it off. I don't even know why they splintered it off separately into having like the Aleister Black one just so they can have his. They've just done that so they can have his name in there.
It's exactly.
That's still the Gargano Ciampa feud. It doesn't matter. It's still that feud.
You can't trick us, mate, by adding another name into it. It's Gargano Ciampa.
Yeah,
absolutely. The breakout star of the year, our nominations are Bianca Belair, Lacey Evans, Women's Rat, Rhea Ripley, Dakota Kai, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, War Raiders, and EC3. Well, it's not EC3, is it?
It's not EC3.
No.
It's probably not Lars Sullivan.
Or Rhea Ripley.
Although he is,
I like Rhea Ripley.
He is the breakout star because he's now broken out of NXT.
Yeah. As is Lacey Evans. Mm. Shout out to the main roster. Rhea Ripley, unfortunately, because I don't have time to watch NXT UK, so I don't know really. I've only seen the stuff that she did in the Mae Young Classic. And I really like Rhea Ripley. I loved her in last year's one. So I'm sure she's doing great stuff at NXT UK. I just haven't got the time to watch it. Ricochet. I'm going to say Ricochet.
I'm going to say Bianca Belair.
Good shout. Mate.
I'm going to say Bianca Belair because she was not particularly a known quantity.
That's true.
And so Ricochet coming into NXT was kind of like, I mean, he's still called Ricochet. Yeah. So
You're already great,
His name has some value there. So I don't think he's like a breakout star.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair, though, has had a fantastic year.
Yeah. I might change my vote to Dakota Kai as well, just because she's my girl. She's great. The future star of NXT. There's a hilarious nomination in here. There's two hilarious nominations that really do not belong in this list. Bearing in mind,
this was a remember these two people. These people exist.
It really was. I was like, why are they in the nominations? Anyway,
they're the finest.
Options are Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, Mia Yim, The Forgotten Sons, Dominic Dijakovic, thank you very much. Io Shirai, Ayup Shirai, Candice LeRae, Dukin Shafir, and Kona Reeves. The finest Kona Reeves.
What an idiot.
It's a gimmick that's done so well that Ollie had no idea who I was talking about when I was the finest. He was like, who's that?
Yeah. What's one of those?
What's a one of those? So
Tesco's finest Kona Reeves.
Who is the future star of NXT in 2019?
Ooh. You can see there's a big claim for Matt Riddle. I can see a huge thing for Matt Riddle. Mia Yim has had a fantastic debut. Io Shirai should be the biggest thing. She's just not had a match since she was...
She had that tag match.
She was in the final of the Mae Young Classic and then appeared on NXT TV a few times, and then she had that. That was in her in ring debut.
I think it was her NXT in ring debut.
Her NXT debut was the tag match with Duke and Shafir, she obviously turned the tables completely in that thing. But she's not shown enough yet, so I feel like even Mia Yim's had a better showing than her. Oh, I'm so confused.
I'm going to say
so many options.
I'm going to say Riddle. I think Riddle is going to be the award future. He's my vote anyway because I think he's going to be NXT champion in 2019. I could definitely see him winning the belt, perhaps even at one of their big shows, but I suppose they're all big shows. But their SummerSlam big show.
Yeah.
Where is SummerSlam next year or this year? Is it in LA?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember. But I think it's going to be like at that SummerSlam show, I could see that Riddle winning the belt there, or at War Games perhaps. So I'm going to go with Matthew Riddle.
I'm going to say Mia Yim.
Ooh.
As she was signed, obviously, under a huge swathe of fan support.
Yeah, but so was Cedric Alexander.
Yes,
It took him a little while to get going,
but I feel like he was caught up in the let's also have Enzo Amore be the Cruiserweight Championship debacle. So
yeah.
I imagine Mia Yim might get a bit of a better shot.
Sure, you don't want Kona Reeves?
I'm alright for Kona Reeves, thank you.
I've got enough finest stuff in the house, to be honest.
I'm alright for Kona Reeves.
My baked bean collection is ginormous currently.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So it turns out I didn't actually have my notes open on my laptop, and when I did open them, I realised I'd called the notes SmackDown. So
that gives you an insight into how much NXT was worth writing about.
I'm off to a flying start. That was more effort for me to call it SmackDown than it was NXT. So yeah, this was a 2-hour show. It's the awards special, and it was just loads of highlights. So let's run through the highlights they went through. As I say, if you haven't watched any of NXT in 2018, this is a wonderful jumping off point, because it gave you like everything you need to know from 2018 to then get you all set and ready for 2019. So actually, in that sort of vacuum, I think this was a successful show.
Yes.
But as a viewing experience, when you've got to take notes, did wear me down.
Yes. And also in the process of being a show that's on the WWE Network and then showing you full matches from other products that are on the WWE Network that you could just watch.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, okay,
They may as well just give you timestamps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be much easier. Like, just give me a hyperlink. I'll be fine.
So we got the North American Championship ladder match from NXT TakeOver New Orleans. Then we got the Breakout Star of the Year nominations. Video package for Gargano vs. Ciampa at New Orleans. And then got the finish from the Chicago match as well. Got a video package for Black vs. Almas at New Orleans. And then got Ciampa winning the belt back from January. Ciampa winning the belt from Black in June. And we also got a recap of who ran over Aleister Black with the reveal of Johnny Gargano. Recap of Riddle knocking out Cassius Ohno at War Games. Then we got the Tag Team Year of the Year Awards nominations. They showed pretty much the whole of Undisputed Era versus Burch and Lorcan. Great match. Great match, lads. Rival of the Year nominations, Future Star of the Year nominations. I've written here, basically every match from NXT has been nominated for Match of the Year.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
they showed all...
Funny enough, no Kona Reeves matches there.
but he's in the Future Stars Award.
I know, he could be a Future Star.
They showed all of the Bianca Belair versus Deonna Purrazzo match from the Brooklyn pre-show.
Which was very weird.
I'd imagine would have been on the NXT TV episode that aired after Brooklyn 4. But as I said, I wasn't here, so I don't know. I was in Canada. I was in the Canadian mountains.
I remember watching it and thinking, that's a match.
It was a match. Bianca Belair, of course, won.
Yes.
She's undefeated.
Undefeated.
And she is going to be facing Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship because she won that four-way that was on the
episode. Which is entirely why they showed this entire match. Yes. To be like, remember this woman? Yeah. She is good.
She is ace.
You will have to watch her in 3 weeks' time.
We then got a video package of Gargano versus Black from War Games. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yes, we did. Yeah, and then we got the finish of the cage match to round off last year. And then we actually got a new bit of footage. Gargano being interviewed after the match. And I really like this because the interviewer was essentially going like, you know, are you now teaming with Tommaso Ciampa? And he essentially just ignored the question and was just like, what a good guy I am. Mm. I absolved Aleister Black of his sins.
I'm the hero of this story.
You guys should cheer me. I'm the good guy.
Did you see Johnny's little tweet over Christmas?
I didn't really go on Twitter.
So Johnny did a little tweet over Christmas that was a sort of end of year wrap up, and there was a little slip at the end where he said he'd written, I think he was trying to write die, and he'd written DIY.
Oh.
And then Ciampa retweets it and says, do I spot a little DIY in there?
It's pretty good. Freudian blowjob. I was thinking about this show while I was watching it, and I was like, oh, we're seeing a lot of the same stuff here. Do you know what I really would have liked to have seen on this show?
What's that?
The NXT match they did at the Madison Square Garden events.
On Boxing Day.
Like that, they had this big epic 10-man tag. If I remember correctly, it was Matt Riddle, Aleister Black, Ricochet, Velveteen Dream,
Pete Dunne.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, so those five versus Ciampa, Gargano, and the Undisputed Era of Strong, O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. That 10-on-10 or that 5-on-5 match, put that up on this show. That would have been great.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd have been awesome. We then got the nominations.
There you go, look. I will take over, or I will DIY trying.
Very nice.
Johnny Gargano.
Very good, you sir.
Flirt.
We then got the Male Competitor of the Year nominations and the Female Competitor of the Year nominations, which I suddenly realized I wrote down so few names, I thought I'd missed one. Because like there's so many in the male nominations. Yeah, I was like, why is there so few in the female category?
Ain't got lots of women's.
Apparently not. And then we got our actual match on this show, which was Matthew Riddle versus Cassius Ohno, a rematch from NXT TakeOver War Games, the match that Riddle won in like 6 or 7 seconds, whatever it was, the official quickest match in TakeOver history. And it was... So this whole show was built around... Well, building up to this match. Like, every time they would do a video package, they were like, still to come. It's that epic rematch encounter between Riddle and Ohno. You've got to stick around this whole two-hour show to watch it. And I'm like, okay. And
I mean, it could be good.
And I was thinking to myself... Sorry, I was thinking to myself that... Because this is a two-hour show, this match is going to be given loads of time. Maybe even feel like a big, like, TakeOver-style match going 25 minutes, half an hour, 20 minutes. No, this match went 10 minutes, I think. Yeah. About 10 minutes. And then
I was watching the clock for the end, and I kept being like, on another video package?
More awards?
Yeah, what?
And then and it was like...
Full entrances?
Full entrance, yeah. And we got a five-minute sort of like after-match sort of storytelling bit as well, an angle afterwards. But it wasn't really much of a match.
No.
I was really surprised by this. I mean, because it's Riddle and Ohno, but it's not like they went out there and had a bad match together. The way that the match was structured wasn't there to be a good match.
No.
It felt like this match was just there to be a backdrop so they could do the post-match angle afterwards.
Yes.
Like, and that's all this match was there for, because it was really just Riddle firing off hard at the start with the Exploder Suplex and Sentons. Then Ohno took over. Riddle made a comeback and then won.
Yes.
That's basically it.
It felt like the beginning of a much longer match.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, if this was the half-hour match you were going to do, obviously do the big Cassius Ohno beat down with hundreds of Sentons and kicking him in the head or whatever for ages. And then you've got 20 more minutes for Riddle to fire back up, fight back into it, whatever. Here it just went, Ohno's in charge. Riddle fires back a tiny bit. Ohno's still in charge. Senton, he's reversed it. Bro mission.
Yeah.
End of.
And that was it. It was surprising. Mm. Surprising. I'm not going to say the word shocking, but it was surprising. I really thought they were going to give a much bigger match, especially for those who stuck around for the whole 2 hours of this show.
But this is clearly all build, right? So we're all on the build train now towards the next takeover, and this will be probably one of the matches in that, I imagine.
Yeah, but then, like, if Riddle wins that one as well, then it's just... It's a very one-sided feud.
Yes.
And afterwards, Riddle offered the bro fist after the match, but Cassius walked away looking so sad. I'm grumpy and I lost. And then he got back into the ring, and I like the crowd chanting, bro, no.
Yeah.
That was really, bro, no. And then Ohno gets down on one knee, and he offers the fist as well. Matt builds this up because he's just incredibly charismatic and bloody wonderful, and he really builds to it like, oh, tease. Oh, no, bro. Yeah, I'm going to do it. The real-life Michelangelo that he is went to go and do it. But then Ohno grabbed him by the wrist, and he tossed him into the ring post and beat him up around ringside and, you know, left standing tall to round off this first show of 2019.
Cowabungered all over it.
He really did. So that was... NXT in a nutshell. It took us 20 minutes to go through the nominations. Mm. I'm amazed it took us about 8 minutes to go through the whole show itself, which is mostly just recaps.
This is a show.
Guess what I got for Christmas?
What?
Bloody smash up, mate.
You did? Yes.
I bloody smash up, and I've already bought one of my expansion packs.
Which one did you get?
I'm going to double check. I think I bought the Universal Monsters one.
Oh, nice.
Which comes with vampires.
Vampires, werewolves.
Frankenstein monsters and giant insects, I believe.
Nice.
I was going to get the cease and desist pack.
That's the one I want to get next.
Yeah. So I think that's on my list of like ones I would like to get.
That's
next.
Is that Greek gods and
Star Trek?
Star Trek and another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me find. Where's my list?
Oh, Transformers is in that.
Yeah,
one
Transformers.
As well.
I thought Transformers was in the
Change
Big
box.
In Japan.
No.
List. Yeah, I was also going to get the science fiction double feature as well. Which comes with like spies and goo monsters.
What a game.
What a game it is.
I won a game at Christmas.
Oh, what'd you win?
We won a game of Smash Up at Christmas. The only game of Smash Up we managed to get in at Christmas. We played a few games. We played Love Letter, which I really like.
Good game.
Coup.
Love Coup. Really Coup's good. A great game. Yeah. Really, really good deception card game. Mm. I think it's vastly underrated.
Brought Keyforge for my brother's girlfriend, and I've got a deck now. Haven't played it yet, but I will have played it by next week, because I'm playing it on the weekend.
Exciting times.
And then
bought myself a pack.
Yeah, and then Smash Up we played, and I managed to win with Zombies and Ghosts as combination, which is an interesting combination, because Ghosts' thing is they put cards in the discard pile.
Yep.
Zombies' thing is that they play from the discard pile.
Very nice. That's a good combination.
There were some good bits. Like, I got stuck for a while my brother and his girlfriend locked me down, stuck all my cards on one base, and were like, we're not playing on there anymore. And I was like slowly having to build it up to break it myself, and then eventually broke it. And then there was just one round where I must have played every card in my hand and about five from the discard pile. Broke a base, ended up with two cards, and the final card was, if you've got less than two cards in your hand, you get a victory point.
Oh, nice.
And I just went, I was one away, my turn, just, I win.
Yes, good work. I also got The Networks. Have you played this?
No, I've not heard of this.
Really, really interesting game. Really good game, actually, where you are a TV executive and you have to build up your schedule over various seasons.
Mm.
So you put a show into your time slot, and shows have their own preferred time slot. They might have to have a star attached to it or an advert attached to it. But then, like, show's lifespan will always decrease. Mm. Or it might start off poor but then grow in popularity and then decrease in popularity. It's only played over five rounds. I think a much longer game is kind of like would be really good.
Mm.
Almost like not so much a legacy version of it, but a legacy version of it would be great. Would be really, really good. And it's good as well, and it's interesting because you only have one action per round, or per turn rather. So you might want to get a certain show, but you need to get a star before that. So you have to get the star first,
right,
and then hope that no one takes that show that you want to develop before it comes back round to you.
I see. Very good.
So very good with three people. Because I had a point when I had... there was a sports show, and my 10 p.m. show was about to, like... In its next turn, it was only going to get, like, one rating.
Mm.
And that's rubbish.
Yes.
Whereas this one would get me, like, 15. I was like, that's very good. But it needs to have two adverts attached to it. And I just so happened to have one advert that was specifically only wanted to be attached to a sports show.
Right.
And I was like, which means I get bonus money if it's attached to a sports show. There's also an advert in the deck, or in the, you know, where you could pick things from, that also wants to be attached to a sports show. So I was like, brilliant, well, I'll get that advert, and I'll put on it these two at 10 p.m. I get all the ratings, I get all the money. I've also got this card, which means I can put a star on it, which means I get more ratings. This is going to be a brilliant turn for me. This is definitely going to win me the game. And then my wife's turn was next, and she picked the sports show and put on at 8 p.m., which means she got rubbish ratings for it and put adverts on it that didn't want to be associated with sports shows.
You don't even know what you're doing.
So she got no money for it. And I was like, this is a dreadful turn for you,
yeah,
and it's an even worse turn for me.
Maybe that's why she did it. She's messing with you.
She did.
Played a little underrated game at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Scrabble.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Not played Scrabble for many years. Played down the pub. It was great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Lovely little time.
Fundamentally underrated game. Also went back to playing Werewolf
nice.
On Christmas Eve, which was really good fun. The only problem we had with playing Werewolf on Christmas Eve was that my mate's cat is the friendliest cat. Hmm. So in the bit where it's like, close your eyes.
Yeah.
Werewolves wake up. Everyone was going, oh, because his cat was jumping all over everyone sitting around the table.
Nice. We played with my parents and my auntie and uncle, which is very, very good. But we seem to find ourselves, and this happened as well on New Year's, we managed to just keep finding ourselves in a game where you've only got two villagers, but four people claim their villagers. And you're like, well, we're at such an impasse here.
It's a lack of imagination.
Because, like, what am I supposed... I can't argue with any of you. And all of you are just going to say to me is, I'm a villager.
Yes,
there's no way for me to find out the truth.
Completely locked down.
And then people go like, oh, I was a werewolf. What a brilliant game I played. I was like, no, that was a rubbish game you played, because there's no way I could have found out.
The best lies are the really big lies. If
exactly,
you can pull off
a
really huge lie, then it's... Or I love the pretend you're a minion play.
Oh,
I think that's my favourite play in the game.
The Simon play?
Yes, the classic Simon play.
The classic Simon
play. Oh, I was a minion when I looked at it.
It's my favourite Simon. My favourite Simon play was he pretended to all of us he'd never played the game before. So we went through the whole ordeal of explaining to him how the game worked, how all the characters worked. And when I asked him, what are you? He's like, I'm a minion. I don't really know what that means. And we're like, okay, well, let's just discredit everything that Simon has to say then. Bloody werewolf. He knew exactly what he was doing. Genius bit of play.
It was genius. We struggled when we were playing on Christmas Eve because my brother had bought his mate some plum wine for Christmas.
Right.
And he drank the whole bottle in about an hour.
Whoa.
So when he was playing werewolf, every round, all he said was, "I'm a werewolf." And then sat silently for 3 minutes. And then at the end, I had to turn to him and go, "So are you a werewolf? Or are you on the other team and you're just saying you're a werewolf?" And he was like, "I'm a werewolf." And I was like, "Oh, he's no help. I just don't know anymore."
I also played a really, really good game called Everdell, which is a worker placement game, which is adorable because it is set within a citadel populated by animal critters. And then the story of the game is that you have decided amongst yourselves, the factions of squirrels, turtles, I think bunny rabbits, I can't remember what the other one is, decided they're all going to go and form their own cities. So you then have to build your own city within the world of Everdell and try and lure critters into your city and send off your... So I was the team of squirrels. So I had to send off my squirrels to forge wood and amber and stones and berries.
Squirrels are well known for their forging of amber.
Oh, they were brilliant at it. Yeah. And it's wicked. It's a really, really good worker placement game. I'm never usually that keen on worker placement stuff because I find it to be quite overwhelming because you've got to sort of look in front of you and be like, okay, what do I need to do?
Yeah, I need a very limited set of actions.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, and this is like, it's limited in case you can only do one action per turn, but you've just got to constantly think so far ahead of yourself of what you want to do.
I'd much rather have a hand of cards and be like, these are the only things I can do.
Exactly.
Let's try and work it out based on that. Process of elimination.
Exactly.
Scrabble, another great example. These are the only letters I have. What words can I spell?
Yeah. I'm not sending off squirrels to get me other letters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not planning six moves ahead to get to the triple word score, yeah. Although I probably should be.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd highly recommend Everdell. Really, really good game. Also, final game on Board Game Corner. Got to play through the Resident Evil 2 board game.
Oh, yeah.
I only played through the first two scenarios, and I'm playing it one player. So it is tough mudder. It is tough, but not impossible. So that's, I found it to be really, really good in that sense. And it was, man alive, it was hard. Because I'm playing it on my own. The tutorial scenario they give you in the instruction manual is good, a very good way to kind of work yourself into the game. Problem is that it kind of gives you some basics of how to play the game. Then it tells you to play the tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you're playing the tutorial, you have all these questions that come up and you're like, well, that's not in any of the instructions. I don't really know how to do this. So I was going on YouTube and I was finding out other people playing it. Other people were playing it wrong, apparently, because I was looking at comments, people like, you're playing this game so wrong, you need to do this and this. It's like, I don't really know. So I played through the tutorial, really struggled with it, but I managed to get to the end, kind of sort of working out as I went along. Then I flip over the next page, there's all the instructions of what you're meant to do. So my advice to Steamforge Games is if you're going to put a tutorial map, put it at the bloody end and tell people to play it then, rather than giving you half the instructions, telling you then to play the tutorial, and then giving you the instructions of how to play the tutorial afterwards.
Some people like Luke will stop reading the book at that
point. Well,
that's
because it literally says you're reading the point. It's like, you're now at this point, set up the tutorial stage.
I will go to do to that.
And that's it. And so I set that up. So I would say put it at the end of the book. But yeah, I was playing through the first scenario of it when you're working your way through the Raccoon City Police Department. You've got to find two keys. You've got to get the spade key to unlock the spade door.
Obviously, in the police department.
Absolutely, yeah.
Classic Resident Evil.
And then hope to be able to find the stars key within that and then work your way up to the stars.
What was the lore that was like? Why was the Raccoon City Police Department so mental?
Capcom.
It was designed
because it was basically it was the mansion again.
But I feel like they'd written in something that was like, oh, he was a fan of puzzles or something. Like,
there probably is something.
Sheriff Rubix was a fan of puzzles. So
yeah, there probably is. I can't remember anything off the top of my head, but there probably is something. But I was a teenager. I'm just like, okay, puzzle. Yeah. Here is a key. I need that key.
This police department has been made by the famous architect, Dr. Kawashima.
Yeah. Also, you need to find these two jewels in order to be able to open this one gate. So I had to like find the spade key at first. And you kind of have like markers on the board, which are just like, these are the items that you can pick up, but the items come at you at random. So you have like a deck of cards, these are all your A items, and then you find an A item, you draw a card, it's like, oh, it's a first aid spray, or it's a green herb. And I had all of these A items on the bottom floor, on the ground floor rather, and I'm like, cool, ideally I would find the spade key, then I can just complete this ground floor level, get the stars key, head upstairs and go into the stars door and go through.
That's a hard no from the game.
It really was, because I went through every item on the ground floor, and because of my shuffling, did not find the spade key. So I had to go upstairs, fight my way through more zombies and dogs, and then find the spade key, go back downstairs, push past some of the zombies that I couldn't kill the first time around, because it's very difficult to kill zombies in that game, and then get the... Luckily, spade key was the the stars key was the first B item I found. So I was like, I need to head there now, because the rules of the game is once the tension deck is out, the game is over.
Oh, right.
And it was... And you have to turn over the tension deck after every round has ended. And I was literally like, I had one move left I could do and opened the door before I turned over the last card in the deck. So it was very, very... It's super tough, but really, really good. Miniatures are very cool. Layouts are very cool. It's challenging, but not impossibly challenging.
I imagine it's easy if you've got multiple people as well.
I would also imagine that as well. Yeah. But I did not, because I played it on my dad. But I had a great time playing it nonetheless. So that is all we've got time for. Thank you so much for all of your correspondence. Thank you for listening to our silly little ramble chat about board games and stuff. I know that a lot of people aren't really that interested in it, but I don't care, to be honest, because I do like talking about this sort of stuff. In fact, actually, if you're one of our $10 backers and you're getting into the new version of Ramble Club, you might get a lot more of this. So if you do like this sort of thing, then I would recommend the $10 Ramble Club. Head over to the YouTube version of this video. See our special surprise from the Hammerman, Chris Jenkins, which we're very, very excited about. Open it, staring me in the face at the moment. I can't wait to open it up, but we've got to get Ollie off the phone of business. But that is all we've got time for. Ollie and I... Oh, actually, yeah, as an update, we're not going to be doing a weekend ramble because it's Wrestle Kingdom tomorrow. So, in fact, Wrestle Ramble comes early. We're going to do Wrestle Kingdom tomorrow. The reason being is that we can't pre-record the Wrestle Ramble, because anything we talk about is just going to be completely redundant on Saturday after Wrestle Kingdom is aired. And we don't have time to record it tomorrow to get it ready for Saturday. So... we're going to do the Wrestle Kingdom in a Wrestle Kingdom review instead, but there will be an intro and outro in there. It won't be a minisode. So that will be tomorrow. We'll see you then. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.